The work along the three lines. In the left line, which brings about suffering as a result of the absence of the desired, precisely by this is awoken a need for the help of the Creator, which comes in the form of the light of the soul. In the right line, in a state when a person desires nothing for the self, there exists only the light of mercy, called Or Chasadim, the joy from the similarity in spiritual qualities. But this state is not perfect because it lacks knowledge and the understanding of the inner meaning. In the left line, there is not perfection because the light of wisdom can illuminate only if there's congruence in qualities between the light that is received and the one receiving the light. The congruence results in Or Chasadim, which is found in the right line. Spiritual gains can be made only by having a desire, but the right line has no desire for anything. All the desires are concentrated in the left line. However, the desired cannot be received into the egoistic desires. Thus, there exists a necessity to unite these two qualities so that the light of knowledge and pleasure of the left line can enter the light of altruistic qualities of the right line, and the light of the middle line will illuminate the created being. Without the light of the right line, the light of the left is not revealed and is perceived only as darkness. Even when a person is still enslaved by his own egoism, the work in the right and the left line still takes place. However, he doesn't yet control his desires. Instead, the desires dictate his thoughts and actions and prevent him from being filled with the light of congruence with the Creator, called Or Chasadim, and the light of the ultimate comprehension, called Or Chachma. Rather, he's only capable of pronouncing the names of the worlds, the Sephirot and the Kelim. In such a state, the study of the construction of the spiritual worlds and their effects, that is, the study of Kabbalah, is especially effective in helping a person develop in himself the desire to come closer to the Creator. Because in the process of studying, he begins to desire to resemble the objects that are being studied, and hence he draws upon himself grace from the upper realms, though this process is not perceived due to the lack of spiritual senses. But the spiritual forces affect a person only if he's studying for the sake of coming closer in qualities with the spiritual. Only in this case does an individual bring upon himself the purifying effect of the surrounding light. It can be observed in numerous cases, though, that without the proper guidance, an individual may know what is contained in Kabbalah books, may even engage in meaningful discussions on the topic, but nonetheless never truly grasp the emotional essence of what was learned. But the one who attains spiritual levels through his own work, even the most insignificant ones, already exits the shell of our world and is already engaged in the task for which that individual descended into this world. On the other hand, the knowledge and the memory of the smart ones often increases their egoism and doubts, and thus pushes them further away from their goal because the light, which is derived from the study of Kabbalah, can be a life-saving medicine called Samcha Chaim. But it can also be a deadly poison, called Sam HaMavet. The beginner cannot discern between the one who truly perceives, that is, a Kabbalist, and the one who studies Kabbalah as just another social science. For the beginner, the work along the three lines is focused on analyzing his own state rather than on attaining the upper light, which is the focus of the one who already perceives. In the right line, also known as the state of giving, called chesed, or faith above reason, an individual is happy with the lot that was given to him, with his fate, and with what he received from the Creator, since he regards this as the greatest gift for him. This is regardless of the fact that he carries out the commandments of the Creator without grasping their inner meaning, but rather as a result of his own upbringing or the acceptance upon himself of certain obligations and self-education. But this state is not yet considered as the right line, because there exists an absence of the left line. Only when the opposite state appears can we speak of either one of the lines. Thus, only after he acquires an inclination towards a critical assessment of the self, only after he undertakes the appraisal of his own achievements, only after he determines the true goal of his life, only when he undertakes a critical approach towards the results of his own efforts, only then will he obtain the left line. What is important here is the goal of creation. An individual determines that, in essence, the goal is receiving the pleasure from the Creator. At the same time, he feels that he has not experienced this even once. In the course of studying, a person learns that this can occur only when there emerges a congruence of qualities between that person and the Creator. Thus, one is obligated to examine his own desires and aspirations, to judge them as objectively as one can, to control and analyze everything in order to determine if one's truly moving towards renouncing egoism and acquiring the love for other people. If a student sees that he remains in the state of egoistic desires and has not progressed towards a better condition, he often gets feelings of despair and apathy. Moreover, he sometimes discovers that not only does he remain amidst his egoistic desires, but they've even increased, since he acquired desires for pleasure which before he considered as low, petty, ephemeral, and unworthy. It's clear that in this state it becomes difficult to continue to observe the commandments and to study with the joy that he had previously. He falls into despair and disappointment, and he regrets the time that he wasted, as well as the efforts that he made and the deprivations that he suffered. An individual thus rebels against the goal of creation. This is a state known as the left line, because it is in need of correction. An individual perceives his own emptiness in such a situation, he must turn to the right line, to the feelings of completeness, satisfaction, and full happiness with his lot. Before, when he was in the previous condition, it was not considered that he was in the right line, because one remained in one line simply because there was no second line. There did not exist any self-criticism. But if after genuine realization of personal imperfection in the second line, one returns to the first line, that is, to the feeling of perfection, against his actual state and feelings, then it's considered that one is acting along two lines, not simply the first and the second, but along two opposite lines, the right and the left. The entire path of renouncing egoism and departing from the narrow boundaries of personal interests is built on the basis of the right line. It's said that a person must break away from his own interest, which are the ephemeral, petty, and constantly changing desires of our bodies. They were given to us from above not for accepting them as the goal of life, but rather so that we would renounce them for the sake of attaining eternal, supreme, absolute perceptions of spiritual pleasure, of uniting with the ultimately supreme that exists in the universe, that is, with the Creator. But to break away from personal thoughts and desires is impossible, since we do not perceive anything other than ourselves. One thing that is possible in our condition is to believe in the existence of the Creator, in His complete dominion, in the goal of His creation, in the necessity to reach this goal despite the complaints of our bodies. A faith like this, in that which is not perceived, the faith in something that is above our understanding, is known as faith above reason. Precisely after the left line begins the time to pass into such a perception of reality as explained above. A person is happy that he merited to carry out the will of the Creator, despite the fact that as a result of his egoistic desires, he does not feel any pleasure or enjoyment from this. In spite of his feelings, he believes that he receives a special gift from the Creator. Thus, even though he is in such a state, nonetheless, he is able to carry out the Creator's will specifically in this manner, and not like most people who do it either to receive pleasure or as a result of their upbringing and education, without even being conscious of their mechanical acts. A person realizes that he acts contrary to his body. That is, one is internally on the side of the Creator rather than on the side of the body. One believes that everything emanates from above, from the Creator, through a special connection to that person. Therefore, that person values such a gift from the Creator and draws inspiration from it, as if he was awarded the highest spiritual perception. Only in such a case is the first line known as the right line, as perfection, because the joy comes to a person not from his own condition, but from the relation of the Creator to that person, which permitted that person to act outside the boundaries of selfish, egoistic desires. In such a case, though a person has not completely departed from the enslavement of egoism, he can receive spiritual illumination from above. Although the upper illumination has not yet entered that person, because the light cannot enter egoistic desires, this light nevertheless surrounds the person, and this gives him a bond with the spiritual, as well as the realization that even the most minute connection with the Creator is already a great reward and pleasure. As for the perception of the light, he must tell himself that it's not in his power to appraise the actual value of the light. The right line is also called truth, because an individual clearly understands that he's not yet attained the spiritual level and does not lie to himself. Rather, he says that that which he received comes from the Creator, even his most bitter conditions. Thus, faith above reason is very valuable because there is a contact with the Creator. We can see, then, that the right line is built on the clear realization of the absence of spiritual perception and on the bitter feeling of personal worthlessness, which is followed by the departure from the egoistic calculations towards actions based on the principle, not what I will gain, but what the Creator desires. If a person realizes that he's the object of special attention from the Creator and that he possesses a special relation to the Kabbalah and to the commandments, while most others are busy with petty calculations related to the mundane concerns of life, then the considerations of that person are reasonable. Still, these conditions are the product of the intellect. They are not above reason. An individual, however, must tell himself that even though he's happy in the present state, he must proceed by faith above reason, so that his delight may be built on his faith. The left line, on the other hand, is built on verifying the genuine nature of a person's love for other human beings, on determining if he's capable of altruistic action and of selfless deeds, on checking if he truly does not wish to receive a reward for his efforts. If after such calculations he sees that he is incapable of giving up his interests, even to a small degree, then he has no choice but to beg the Creator for redemption. For this reason, the left line brings a person to the Creator. The right line gives a person the possibility to thank the Creator for the feeling of his perfection, but it does not give him the perception of his true state, the state characterized by absolute ignorance and by the complete absence of connection to the spiritual. Thus, it does not bring him to prayer, and without prayer, it's impossible to comprehend the light of the Kabbalah. In the left line, however, a person attempts to overcome his true state with his own willpower, and thus comes to realize that he does not possess the sufficient strength for such a task. Only then does he begin to discern his need for help from above, since he sees that only supernatural powers can help him. Only through the left line does an individual attain the desired end. But it's important to understand that the two lines must be balanced in such a way that each should be utilized equally. Only then will a middle line emerge, combining the right and the left into a single line. If one line is greater than the other, it will prevent the two from merging, since it will perceive itself as more beneficial in a given situation. Thus, the two lines must be absolutely equal. The benefit from this difficult task of increasing the two lines equally is in this, that on their foundation, a person receives the middle line, the upper light, which is revealed and perceived specifically on the experiences of the two lines. The right line gives perfection because he believes in the perfection of the Creator. Since the Creator governs the world, just he and no one else, even if egoism were not to be taken into account, then a person is in perfection. The left line gives a critical evaluation of his state and a feeling of his imperfection. It is of critical importance to be concerned that the left line under no circumstances should remain greater than the right. In practical terms, an individual should spend 23.5 hours a day in the right line and allow oneself only a half hour to activate the egoistic deliberations. The right line should be so pronounced that there should be no need for any other attributes in order to attain the feeling of absolute happiness. This process symbolizes the controlled departure from personal egoistic deliberations. Thus, it signifies perfection, since it requires nothing else to feel joy. This occurs because all considerations pertain to all that is outside of the body, that is, to all that is together with the Creator, rather than to the inner needs of the body. Shifting to the left line, or a transition from the right line to the left and back, should be undertaken consciously by an individual at a certain set time and with certain preset conditions, not just according to his mood. Shifting to the left line, a person finds that not only has he not progressed in his perception and understanding of the spiritual, but also that in his normal daily life, he's become worse than he had been previously. That is to say, in place of a forward movement, he withdraws even more into his egoism. In a state like this, a person must immediately shift to prayer for the correction of his situation. On this, it is said in the Bible that the exodus from Egypt, or from egoism, occurred when they were in the very last 49th state of the impure desires. only when a person completely realizes all of the depth of the evil of his egoism and cries for help does the Creator elevate him and give him the middle line, in that he bestows a soul to him. Light of the Creator from above begins to illuminate him, which gives him powers to shift to altruism and to be born in the spiritual world.